Well, this is Father Raniero indeed, Cantalamessa, preacher to the Pepper household, and you are listening to Vocation Cast.
Father Raniero Cantalamessa, thank you for joining us. First of all, could you introduce yourself?
Well, I am a Capuchin, a Franciscan Capuchin, religious and priest since 1958.
Wow.
my official title now is Preacher to the Papal Household, which means that I give a meditation to the Pope and the Cardinals of Roman Curia every week in Advent and Lent. But maybe we can speak of this later on.
Yeah.
yes, I live in a community in Rome, in fact, in the general curia of my religious order. And I've come to England many, many times. So I am a friend of many English people.
Great. Well, Father, it's great that you're here. Could you just share with us just a little bit about your own personal vocation story?
With great joy, great joy, because I consider it a gift, a big gift, which came from the Lord, or doesn't belong to me, and I must share it. I entered a college right after the end of the World War, the year after the end. Not yet decided what to do in my life, whether to study and then do something else or to remain. And then after 3 months, we had a retreat in our college. And for the first time, I was exposed to the great truth of our religion, eternal life, the love of Jesus. I still remember the impression I received from the meditation on hell. It gave me an idea of how serious life is. The stake is very high. And listening to this truth and receiving a calling to become a religious priest was the same, with such a clarity that later on, with all my theology, I couldn't recover. It was clear for me that this was the biggest grace after the baptism. And now when I speak to young people or speak about vocation, I very much like a Spanish song, which in my opinion describes psychologically and spiritually very, very well what a vocation to become a full-time minister of Jesus means. So in English, this song more or less says, Lord, you have come to the shore. Smiling, you have pronounced my name. And I have left everything on the shore and followed you on that big sea. But especially this sonriendo has dicho mi nombre, smiling tu has pronunciado mi nombre. To be called by the Lord is very much like this, to receive a call, a friendly call by someone who loves you.
Because it is as well, Father, isn't it? It's all about the joy. I mean, speaking as a seminarian, my last sort of 5.5 years, 6 years, I've lost track how long I've been in seminary. But it's been joy, though. That's what a vocation is. When you're called and you step up to the plate and you respond to God, that gives you happiness, doesn't it?
Yes, when it is a true vocation and you are saying yes, free yes, there is no bigger joy than that to become disciples of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Savior, and the fairest of among the sons of men, because Jesus is a friend, before everything, friends. And he calls his disciples, especially the apostles and the followers of the apostles, friend. I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And I think if we manage in conveying to young people this idea of a great friendship, which fills everything, every need of your life, this will be a convincing reason for to become a priest.
Father, you've already mentioned that you're the preacher to the papal household, and this means that you present meditations each Friday during Advent and Lent in the presence of Pope Benedict, cardinals, bishops, and superiors of religious orders. Are you leading a series for this Advent? And if so, what's it on? What are you focusing upon?
Well, I started this ministry with John Paul II in 1980, so 32 years ago. And still I am in this position. I have even an explanation for that long period. No other preacher in history was lasted so long. My explanation is that the Pope realized that this is the place where Father Candelamessa can do less harm to the Church. So keeps me there. Coming to your question, yes, this time, following the appeal of the Pope for a new evangelization, I am giving meditation on this particular word of Jesus, go in the whole world and make disciples of all the nations. And the topic of this particular series is this. I am revisiting four big waves of new evangelization in the history of the Church. In my opinion, there were four times when the Church was faced with the need of a new surge in evangelization, a new time. And the first one, I have spoken of this last Friday, were the first three centuries of the Church, where the Church started the evangelization and managed in changing the world, the Greek world, the Greek wisdom and Roman power. And I tried to see what made the Christians at that moment so powerful. My specialization, because before being preacher to the papal household, I was professor at the University of Milan of ancient Christianity. Mm-hmm. So this period is my particular field. But my purpose in giving this meditation is, of course, not historical. It's to see what we can learn from the experience of these first Christians. And the final observation is, while, according to these historians, there were many causes, many reasons for the triumph of Christianity, Jesus gives us a reason beforehand. Before the history happened, Jesus gave a reason. And the reason is contained in the parable of the seed. Nothing can stop the seed of blossoming, growing. Why? Because this seed was planted by the Son of God. So, and the exhortation was, we must rediscover this full confidence in what we proclaim. The full confidence of the Christians, first Christians, was the reason which finally conquered and convinced the Roman Empire that it was useless to fight against Christians. A martyr, St. Justin, in front of a judge who was condemning him to death, said, "You can kill us, but you cannot destroy us." So, and nowadays, in front of this secularized world, very, very close to the gospel, the first requisite, I think, is our faith. A strong mass of faith coming from the Church is the first condition to convince the world. If we want to convince somebody, we must be convinced, but not just intellectually, convinced with full heart, and when there, this conviction is there in a person, it comes out from the eyes, from the mouth, from the hands, from every, all the whole person.
You mentioned new evangelization as the theme of your talks, and that seems to be a theme that is very prevalent in the church at the moment. Blessed John Paul II talked about new evangelization a lot, and Pope Benedict is continuing that. How do you think the whole area of vocation and people finding their vocation in the church, how does that fit in with this new evangelization?
Evangelization is something very broad. It means spreading the gospel. It means letting Jesus be known. Help people in getting in touch with Jesus. And for this purpose, there is not just one office in the church, the Pope or the bishops or the clergy. The whole body of the church is engaged in this commission, great commission of the Lord. But certainly, while every Christian, every baptized person must be an evangelizer, a witness for Jesus, there is a need for leaders, for people who do this full-time and full-heart. This is why Jesus chose, among the 70 disciples, he chose 12. And from these 12, he chose one, Peter, to be the leader of the group. And this shows us that there is this charism. It's a charism. It's not power like in the world, no? It's a charism. Authority is a charism of serving people, leading people, making people work together. So this is why vocations to priesthood are always essential in this endeavor.
Where do you think the Holy Spirit is at these times in the culture in which we live in? How do you think he's trying to inspire and prosper the kingdom through people in this day and age?
You mentioned the key word in all this topic, the Holy Spirit, precisely. This is the one who can make the word of Jesus and the gospel alive. And this is why only after Pentecost the apostles became great evangelizers. Before, they were unable to do. But the day of Pentecost, the very day of Pentecost, when they go out of the synagogue, they are so powerful that 300 hearts started trembling. So, and this means that unless we pass through the fire of the Spirit, a new Pentecost, our evangelization will lack power. And this is why John 23rd asked God for a new Pentecost. And there is a new Pentecost. I am convinced that the Lord answered this prayer. There is a new Pentecost, and millions of Christians can claim having experienced the new Pentecost. But this is important, especially for people who want to be evangelizers. Jesus himself said, I send you the Holy Spirit, you are unable to give testimony, to come to the full truth. So, in my life, in my own experience, it was a second coming of the Spirit, which for me took place with the baptism in the Spirit, that I became a full-time preacher. As I said, I used to be a professor, teacher. But after I received this new input of the Holy Spirit in 1977, a little later I sensed that the Lord wanted me to be, and I resigned from teaching university position. I ascribe to the Spirit my present ministry, which is not, by the way, confined to preaching to the Pope. I am preaching, I don't know how many countries. Last year I preached in 14 different countries, from Finland to Malaysia and Philippines, and in many, many countries, several times. So this is has been really a gift from the Lord to be able to share my faith, my enthusiasm for Jesus in so many countries. This year in Madrid, I had the privilege of speaking to many young people, many group of young people, 5,000 in Pamplona, and then several thousand in Madrid.
World Youth Day.
World Youth Day.
We're in Advent now, and Christmas is just a few weeks away. As we come nearer to Christmas, how do you think the incarnation of God, what can it say to the people of Europe and the people of the world who are finding that their economies are more and more in crisis?
But Jesus came when there was a much greater poverty around, and he himself was born in a stable. This means that God takes seriously the material condition of people. In fact, Jesus spent most of his time healing people, feeding people, hungry people. But at the same time, the incarnation relativizes everything. We Christians cannot react to the present crisis as everybody else, because we know that we struggle for better life together with the other. But we know that we are not created to be well, to live a comfortable life on this earth. And so we can give courage. This is not a condition which dispenses us from doing things. On the contrary, this was a big mistake by Marx, and that thinking about spiritual things or speaking about eternity will discourage people for changing history. No, this is on the contrary. When a Christian is selfless, is more ready to help others, to be concerned not just of his personal improvement, but especially of the needy and the poor people.
I've got a question about Our Lady, one of my favourite topics of conversation. How can Mary, who kind of stepped up to the plate in her own vocation and became the Mother of God, how can Mary's vocation inspire people to discover and live out their own vocation?
Well, Mary received a big call, an unusual call, to be mother of a child without knowing a man. This was something that had never happened and would never happen after her. So she received a very, very important, dangerous call, because Mary, as every girl in Israel, knew what the law of Moses said about her situation. The girl who the day of her marriage was not found virgin had to be brought to the house, her paternal house, and stoned. So Mary believed at the risk of her own life. She is the model of all our yes, fiat. She said yes to the Lord. Maybe she literally said yes, because when we find fiat, be done to me, in our translations, in the Hebrew Bible, we find the word amen, which means yes. So Mary is the model of a person who has received a calling from the Lord, and in spite of everything says a full, joyful yes. I insist in joyful, because according to the Gospel of Luke, who is the only one who relates us the Annunciation, the word which came out of the mouth of Mary was in a very special mode of the verb, which in Greek is the optative. It's a special mode of the verb, unknown to us. We know the indicative, the conditional, and so on. The Greek knows the optative, which is a mode people use when they want to express desire that something happen, impatience even. So Mary, according to Luke, said to the angel, I am very joyful to do what the Lord wants from me. Genoito is the word.
Just staying on the theme of Our Lady, she gave birth to Jesus Christ, our eternal high priest. And in the same way that she was mother to Christ, we also look at her as mother of priests. What encouragement can priests and seminarians take from that?
Well, last year was the year of the priests, and I spoke to the papal household precisely on priestly ministry. And in one meditation, I touched this relationship between Mary and the priests. Our chief contribution to Christian life is to form Jesus in the people through the sacraments, the Word of God. And this is precisely what Mary did. She did it physically and spiritually. We are called to do this sacramentally, but it's the same. She formed Jesus in her womb, and we must form Jesus in our personal heart and in the heart of people. And Mary is even a model for evangelization. As you know, Paul VI started calling Mary the star of evangelization. And in one ecumenical meeting, a Protestant brother asked me, why do you Catholics call Mary a star of evangelization? What did she do to deserve this title? Not in a polemic way, but just to... It was an occasion for me to reflect on this problem. And the answer is quite simple. Mary is the star of the evangelization because she brought the word, not to one people or another, but to the whole world.
Father Cantalamessa, are you looking forward to Christmas? And how will you be spending your Christmas? And is there one present that you're holding out for that someone's going to buy you?
Let us leave aside the last part of your question. Well, I must tell you a secret. I belong officially to the General Curia of the Capuchin Order, but for the last 3 years, I am living in an hermitage with three uncloistered nuns. A very simple life in a remote place, 1.5 hours away from Rome. I will spend my Christmas there. It will be a Christmas very close, similar to that original Christmas of Jesus. In a humble place, in silence. People will come from the village to listen to the Mass. And there is such a spiritual atmosphere in this place that is a big gift for me. There I prepare my talks, even for the papal household, and it's very inspiring to be there. So I say this because I know most of the people live in this stress, modern stress in the city, where there is always very big noise, and we should find times, at least short times, to be quiet, to be alone, because this is the privileged occasion when the Lord can make callings, give vocations.
Father Raniero Cantalamessa, thank you for joining us on Vocation Cast.